Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
Am I making a positive difference in your life? I hope that I am. That's the whole idea, folks, of being with you, is to share information that helps you in whatever you may be doing when it comes to your home, your family, and your finances. And I begin every show with the same in the same way asking, are you financially fit? Are you financially fit? What does it mean? It means, are you making more than you spend? It means, do you have 6 months of so-called survival funds in your savings account? Untouchable, by the way. It's just sitting there. You've added all the things that you spend every month, all of it, everything, rent, from rent to gas to electric, whatever, and you put that aside. Nobody touches it. So that if something untoward happens, and it will, you have money to live on until you find to get back on your feet. And then I want you to put away about 3 months of emergency funds. Now you say, what's the difference? Well, there's always something going to happen. A family, friend, somebody needs some help. They're going to call you. They're going to ask you for help because they think you're doing so well. Put aside your emergency funds. Now, it's not have to be quite as strict on that, but make sure it's there all the time. And finally, I want you to save at least 5%. And that's a small number, 5% of everything you make, every month, every week, every day. Put aside 5% for your purposes, and you may very well need it at some point. Okay, that's being financially fit here on Home and Family Finance. Now, I got something in the mail from one of the folks at the emails that I get daily about different things, and I thought it was so timely, and I wanted to do it, and I couldn't last week, but I'm able to do it now, and I think you're going to find it interesting because it really does impact all of us. We are, to say the least, a nation on edge. Added to that, the work environment. How do you keep calm and carry on at work? You're in the majority. More than half, 52% of workers say they are stressed at work on a day-to-day basis. And 60%, according to the report, say work-related pressure has increased in the last 5 years, according to the survey that was done by accountants. It's very interesting. I mean, how do you work? How can you be productive if you're stressed out? That's the question that I want to put to Bill Driscoll. He's a district president for Accountemps. He joins us now to talk about this and about the study. Welcome to Home and Family Finance, Bill. Nice to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. What drove you into this direction? Why did you guys decide to do this study?
Well, Accountemps does all kinds of different work-related studies and, you know, looking at employees' health and employers, kind of how they can be more efficient, and this one just seemed to make a lot of sense, you know, based on a lot of the things that you just mentioned and how people are feeling, and it certainly, the survey certainly bore that out.
And let me tell you folks about Accountemps. It's a Robert Half company. It's the world's first and largest specialized staffing service for temporary accounting, finance, and bookkeeping professionals. The staffing firm has more than 325 offices worldwide, so it's a fair sampling. Is it interesting that that many people are stressed out, Bill? Were you surprised by the findings?
You know, I was not surprised. I think it seems like technology has made life easier for us, right? But yet, in some ways, work never leaves us. So you have people waking up in the middle of the night, checking their emails, you know, and in the survey, citing heavy workloads and looming deadlines, people trying to attain work-life balance and unrealistic expectations of managers as the top drivers of stress. And I think, in some ways, trying to do it all, right? Be a super mom or a super dad and do a great job at work and just trying to juggle it all and fit it all into one day just gets harder and harder, and it's increasing stress levels.
And I think, your point here that a stressed employee can have detrimental effects on the department or company. How so?
Well, I mean, if stress levels are rising, you know, in your department, and that's going to lead to burnout and turnover and not the best or optimal work environment. You know, so, you know, anytime you're turning people over and having to retrain and rehire, that's gonna certainly impact your productivity, your efficiency, your profitability, and all of that.
Yeah, and you point out decreased morale and productivity a decreased morale and productivity can always be very, very tough. I'm going to stop for a break here. But before I do, I want to know the timing of your study. Was this done pre or post the new administration?
This was done pre-administration, and it was responses from 2,200 CFOs from a random sample of companies in more than 20 of the largest U.S. metropolitan areas, and 1,000 workers aged 18 or older.
Wow. Okay, interesting study. When we come back, we'll delve a little bit deeper in this with Bill Driscoll, who was district president for AccountTemps. They did the study, folks, and I think you're going to be interested to find out how the difference between millennials and older workers, who stress the most, and what we can do about it. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back.
Want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
The study that was commissioned by AccountTemps looks at the stress. And the headline here is, the heat is on. 6 in 10 employees report increased work stress. Heavy workloads seem to be the chief culprit, and millennials are among the most stressed at work. That's surprising. Is it because they are trying to keep their jobs, Bill, that they may be the most stressed, or because they don't know what the hell they're doing in the first place? I don't know.
I think it's a little bit of both, right? Many of the millennials are in kind of a constant state of learning. They tend to be the newer or less tenured employees in many cases. And so, you know, trying to prove themselves, gain that new experience, learn what they're doing, and ultimately, you know, climb the corporate ladder and get more opportunity, you know, that just compounds already, you know, looming, you know, all the other things that are making them stressed.
And Bill, does productivity take a big hit because of this, or obviously it's there. Is it negligible, or is it something that management has to be concerned about?
I think management definitely needs to be concerned. I mean, increasingly, there's more and more studies about how a positive culture, you know, can really, really attract.
Yeah.
More and more employees. I mean, you look at some of the stuff that Google is doing and, you know, some of the Silicon Valley firms that have really, and a lot of those things started there, but have now spread throughout the workforce, flexibility, those kinds of things. You know, again, a positive culture is really, really important. And that starts with making sure that your workforce isn't completely stressed out.
From an employee point of employer point of view, Bill, what are signs that an employer should look for in being able to determine whether or not they're working with a stressed force?
Well, I think if you start to see people calling in sick quite a bit or coming in late or missing deadlines, you know, we'd offer kind of three big tips. One, help your workers prioritize. Meet with your team members individually and tell them what's really important and what are, you know, and help them understand the order in which everything needs to get done. Secondly, offer resources. Encourage your team to, you know, take advantage of wellness tips or programs. Or a lot of the new buildings that are being built today have exercise rooms there, even yoga classes, or just to take a break in an employee, you know, in a break room or a lounge. Increasingly, again, you know, workplaces are being designed that way. And then lastly, make it fun. No matter what you're doing, with very, very few exceptions, you can have fun while you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
And again, that culture makes a big difference.
And that brings up an interesting point. You know, my dad was one of these people, Bill, that thought that the word parent meant discipline. I'm not talking about physical discipline. I mean, where he had to be kind of harsh. He couldn't play with us or laugh with us. He had always to set this example. And I see some employers, some of the bosses in different positions, who have that same attitude. That doesn't help the stress situation at all, does it?
No, you know, it definitely doesn't. And I think, like a lot of things, you know, being a boss and more flat organizations and millennials' desire to have more access to supervisors and the boss is helping flatten organizations. And I think more progressive companies who recognize things like culture and stress and work environment are going to be a lot more successful. And so I think everything, you know, like everything, I think parenting in a lot of ways is changing too, but so is how you supervise and run a workforce. And I think people should think about that.
Yes. My guest is Bill Driscoll, folks, district president of Accountemps. They have done this study that says, you know, a lot of us are stressed on a job, and we may not know why, but you have to recognize the signs. And now let's get into the more difficult area here, because I know you took this into consideration, and that is gender. Are men more stressed than women, or are women more stressed than men?
Well, men are more stressed than women. In the survey, it was 57% of men versus 47% of women, which is interesting, you know?
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, you know, I don't want to say you think it was just the opposite, because that sounds sexist, and I don't mean it that way. But, with a woman having to deal with the family at home and the kids and them to school and then getting to work and all that, it would appear, it would seem to me, on the surface at least, that those factors would add to the stress of a female employee, but not so according to your study, huh?
That's right, and we didn't really get into the why of that, but you know, at 47% of women and 50% of men, it shows that it's a common problem across, you know, even across the genders.
Yeah. So how does a manager deal with that fact? I mean, it's helpful to know, I guess, but I don't know how you deal with that. I mean, is there a certain ways that you deal with men different than women, or are you obliged to treat everybody exactly the same? Hold your answer. Wait a minute. Let me sell this. Take this break, and when we come back, because I want you to take time to think about that, Bill. So neither of us get in trouble. We'll be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We're talking with Bill Driscoll from Accountemps. We'll be right back. Listening to Home and Family Finance, I am your host, Paul Berry, and thank you so much for joining us. A very interesting topic, a study done by Accountemps, which is a large firm, worldwide firm. They decided to take a look at the stress situation, and I want to talk about political stress in just a moment, because we're dealing with something new. But I want to finish up with Bill Driscoll, my guest, who is district president of Accountemps. And I was asking him about how you treat males and females on your work staff. Should they be treated any differently? And from a management point of view, should you take into consideration that your study shows men are more stressed than women? Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think definitely you need to treat everybody the same. And it's really, as I mentioned earlier, kind of in our, you know, our tips for managers, to meet individually with each person, because the things weighing on every person are different. You know, what is their home situation? What's their commute situation? You know, is there something that's temporary, or is it a longer term issue? How are they performing in their job? What are their skill sets, and helping them prioritize? So I just think there's a lot of different things, and it's important that managers, you know, really focus on each individual person and helping them manage their stress and their workload.
And don't overlook it. I mean, you don't look stress in the face and act like it's not a problem, because if you do, I think your survey proves that it's not going to get any better unless you really manage it, right?
That's exactly right. It is definitely the case. And, you know, I think if you go to some of these workplaces, and I mentioned this earlier, it's amazing to see the new designs of offices and how employee-friendly commercial real estate and design has even gotten, you know, as part of this. So yeah. I think it's just something really important that everybody pays attention to.
Bill, is your study available? Is it available to the public, or is this done?
Absolutely. It's on, you can see as much as, you know, of the detail of the study as you'd like at accounttemps.com.
Okay, Accountemps, it's ACCOUNTEMPS. EMPS.com, folks. So if you are interested, go there and see and take a look at the study yourself. And it may be helpful to your business, no matter how big or small you are. I want to turn for the last few minutes to political stress. I know that this study was done, as you said, before we had this change of administration. But as you also know, Bill, a lot of people are really stressed by the changes or the uncertainty. How does this factor into all of this, you think?
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see. I think that, you know, again, I'm not a, you know, a political analyst per se, but I would say that, you know, some people are really happy with the change and some people aren't. And there's obviously, you know, a divide. And yeah. I think just like with the male-female thing, I think, you know, it's important that when you're talking to your employees, you're open and aware to whatever it is causing stress, whether yeah. it's, you know, political, economic, workload, work environment, home life, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I guess it gets to the point, are these things, is your study and the stress of politics, should these things be discussed in the workplace? Should you have this discussion with your staff and with your people?
Well, I think you just linked stress and politics. I think they're two totally different things. At one point, we did a survey about office politics. I would say, yes, you definitely, as I've said a couple times, you want to really dig in and talk about stress with your employees and how their workload is and yeah. all of those things. As it relates to politics, that's a little bit more of a hot-button topic. And
I agree with you. And the reason I suggest that is even here in my workplace, there are those who love the results and there are those who don't. There are those who now are concerned about the changes. They don't feel as comfortable. And obviously, right. if stress bothers you, it seems to me that maybe what you ought to do is get our heads together and say, okay, you know, we're not going to talk about who's right or wrong, but who's stressed here and what should I do about it? Does that make sense?
That's spot on. I mean, that's yeah. absolutely spot on. Because, again, whether it's politics or any subject, there's going to be differing opinions. And working together as a team, finding common ground, you know, prioritizing what's important for the team and the benefit of the company. Those are the things that you want to be focused on.
Yeah, I like that. Okay, so you help prioritize the workload, offer a resource, how to relax, and then make it fun. If you do those things, if I understand you right, Bill, you got a good chance of getting through the stress and remaining productive. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely. I mean, just the overriding thing for both employees and managers, I just say good communication. Because if you're an employee, don't suffer in silence. Speak up. Talk to your managers as well. Take a break. You know, get up. Don't just grind it out. Get some exercise or even a walk around the block and yeah. Protect your time. You know, be organized. And if you can't handle everything at one time, talk to your manager.
Hey, Bill, thank you so much for joining us. I know I stepped into a minute of your schedule there. I really appreciate the study and you taking time to explain. Come back and see us again, would you please?
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Paul.
Okay. Coming up, we're going to talk about the military changes. We'll be right back.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
Secure with your finances. How important is that? Well, we all know we need to make sure that we are secure, that we're saving what we can, and that our finances are in the right place. You know, I got a call yesterday from a friend who said the military is in the process of doing some new stuff for retirement and also how they – well, I don't know whether I'm sure how they subtract and add or how they take account of the finances for our military. As you know, we're talking about us, our sons and daughters and friends and folks, and we have the pleasure of being heard over the American Forces Radio Network, which I really take as an honor. AFN beams our signal around the world to all of the military bases. And for many years, the DCUC was one of our primary hosts of the program. And so we've gotten to know the folks very well. So when things like this happen that we think we should share with not only our military audience, but for the dependents and for those of us civilians to know how they're doing, we jump at the chance. And so right now we're bringing into a talk with you, a friend, Anthony Hernandez, who's Chief Operating Officer for the DCUC, and he's here to talk about some new guidelines and some new approaches that the military is taking. Tony, nice to have you on the program again.
Hi, Paul. Well, thanks again for having us on the Home and Family Finance Show. It's a pleasure to be here. And you're right. This is a major change that's happening with the military retirement system.
Yeah.
And it goes into effect this coming January, January 1st, 2018.
Okay. The first I heard about this was I had James Lander on last week, who was talking about the savings and that in 2018 there was going to be a new system. But we weren't talking. That wasn't why he was there. So I'm pleased that you're here to explain what's going on here. Tell our service people and our civilians what's happening here and why it's important that they understand it.
Okay. Well, a new law was signed into place back in 2015 that changes the military retirement system. And what this reflects is DOD's support for retirement savings by offering automatic and matching contributions to a tax-deferred account that kind of extends to our junior members, And so what all that means is they're going to be able to include monthly government contributions into their individual retirement accounts. And this is a major change. And the difference between, the system that we have in place today, which is, called the legacy system, and the new blended retirement system, is that the change in law allows for approximately 85% of the military force to have a portable government retirement savings account. And that is a major feature in the law that is intended to not only stress savings for retirement for our junior members, mm-hmm. but it also gives them a vehicle to do that as well.
And you call it portable. Explain what you mean by a portable system.
Well, not every military member. I mean, we thank them for their service every day, but not everyone's going to stay past their initial enlistment. And so the current retirement system, you have to be in for 20 years before you're vested and can start taking your monthly pension from that.
Right.
But what the new retirement system does, it still has that feature in there. But members can start contributing, and if they and we thank them for their service, but if they elect not to re-enlist in the military, they can take their retirement savings and they're portable now, and they can reinvest them into another company or a personal individual retirement plan. That hasn't been offered to military members before.
Well, that sounds okay. That's certainly an advantage, so that when you leave the military, you can take whatever you've accumulated and reinvest it and keep going.
Correct. Now, the difference is, military members could always do it. You can always set up an individual retirement account and just, use your after-tax savings.
Right.
But what this does, these are government matching funds, and that has never been offered to military members. And that's huge, Paul. That's big news for our military members. The only thing is, though, is that starting on January 1st, they have to choose to either permanently opt into the new system
uh-huh.
or they will automatically remain in the current system. And so what DCUC is trying to do is get information out to our men and women in uniform and their families so they understand
how this
the changes
works.
That's coming down.
All right, well, let's dig into this a little bit, okay, because I want to understand this. Now, let's set up an example, and then you can kind of show me what would happen, okay? I've been in for 12 years, and I'm saving. I have a savings account, and I'm working toward retirement and all of that, but for a variety of reasons, maybe my wife's family or maybe my husband, something's happened, and I'm going to have to make the decision to get out of service. And I served my time assigned, and I decided at that point to leave the service. Now, I was looking for a retirement at the end of 20 years. Obviously, that's not going to happen. And I've been saving into an account does it have anything to do with my retirement, the savings?
The savings does. However, right now, if you're at that 12-year point, actually the math works out to stay in the current system, assuming you're going to stay longer.
Aha.
Because if you opt in now at the 12-year point, you won't have enough time to generate enough savings to make the new retirement system better. However, if you're below the 12-year point, then you would have enough time to for the blended retirement system to make a difference. That's all based on individual, choices and styles, and of course, you know, what we want to do is offer information. You know, it may be better for the member to do otherwise, and so right. We recommend that all military members get the information, and we'll talk about our guide here maybe in an upcoming segment.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let me take a break because I really want people, first of all, folks, you got to know about it, and that's what we're doing now. This is what's happening. Second, you got to understand what's happening so that you can make the right choices. And third, you got to reach out, and you can reach out to DCUC or the other people that that Tony will tell us about coming up in just a minute. This is Holman Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
Want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about, or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
All of us have someone that we can point to that's serving in the military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard, whatever. We know someone, a family member, a cousin, a nephew, a niece, a son, a husband, wife. Look, we're all impacted by somebody in the military in some form or fashion, not to mention the service that they give us. But what I like about today's program with Anthony Hernandez, who's Chief Operating Officer at the DCUC, is that they want to reach out and say to you, look, there's some changes that are being made in the retirement service and the retirement approach, how it's done. There's a guide out there. All of this is happening, and it starts in 2018. And so for our service members who have some decisions to make, this is very important that you understand, first of all, that the changes are being made, and secondly, how those changes impact and affect you. One size doesn't fit all, depending upon where you are in your service, depending upon what you want to do, depending upon how you feel about moving forth and how much money you've saved or haven't saved. Anthony, all of that weighs into this. Is that right?
That is correct. And you touched on a major principle that one size does not fit all. And and just like you enumerated, many different factors go into this decision. And we're providing a nice 36-page guide that offers information. And of course, there's DOD's mandatory online opt-in course that military members will have to take. But I did want to, when you said one size doesn't fit all, I mean, you brought up a very good point in that, while all this information, the DCUC booklet that we're putting on our homepage, the DOD's online course, while they're very informative and answer many questions, we highly recommend that military members meet with their personal financial manager on the installation, as well as a certified financial planner for specific financial advice, because one size doesn't fit all. There are individual goals and concerns, and so we want to foot stomp that. But you got to start somewhere. You got to get the information. And so, what we here at DCUC put together was a blended retirement system guide that kind of highlights the military retirement system. And it's a 36-page illustrated guide. It's among the first to be published, and it explains the mechanics of the blended retirement system as well as practical information for making an informed decision between the two retirement options or the two retirement systems.
Okay.
And that's what we're putting out there.
Yeah, let's talk about, because I don't want to mix apples and oranges either here. For those who have not served, when you join the Air Force, when you join the military, any of the military plans, you work toward a retirement. I guess it's still 20 years you can get out, and after 20 years, then you can start to draw down. There may be an age factor, and I'm not sure there is, Tony. You can explain that. But you can start drawing down on your retirement. You make so much a month because you put in X number of years. As I understand it, you could start at if you went in at 20 and you got out at 40, you put in 20 years, you're eligible for retirement or no?
Well, once you retire at 20 years, in both systems, you retire to a monthly pension.
Okay.
And depending on your years of service, if you're at in the legacy system, if you're at 20 years of service, then it's about 50% of your basic pay.
That you're
the new, yeah, that you can draw down, and it goes up the factors about 2.5% for each year after that, up to a maximum of, well, depending on your rank, you know, if you stay in 40 years, you can get you know, up to 100%.
Wow. Okay.
The new retirement system, though, you know, reduces the pension to 40% of basic pay after 20 years, but it offers a lot of other things in between, like some continuation pay at the between the 8 and 12 year point, and there's also some other factors, plus the portability. So it's a little bit different.
Okay.
And it's a big choice that people have to make.
And that's where that's the divide I want to come to. That is an automatic system in place. And you call it the legacy system, I think. Okay. But at the same time that you are earning this, Tony, this money, and by the way, Tony is a veteran of the service and was on the show some time ago and the perfect person to kind of point us in the right direction. But at the same time, you decide that you're going to save X number of dollars. Now, that savings, the money that you're putting into your savings account, has nothing to do, as I understand it, with the legacy, with the money that you're making or with the retirement. Is that true?
Well, it depends on what system that you get into. I mean, yeah, the money, if you stay in, your money goes to pay out at the 20-year point or however long you stay in. If you leave early, then you take your savings account that has government matching, and you can roll it over into a your new employer's 401k or a individual retirement account as
and
well.
That's new, right? That you couldn't do before. Now
that
after 2018 you can do it.
Right. Before it was you stay into 20, and if you don't make it to 20, you got nothing. unless you start at your own individual retirement account.
Right.
This one is automatic. And I should point out, anybody that gets in the military after January 1st of 2018, this coming January, is automatically put in the blended retirement system. They do not have a choice for brand new entrants into the military. But all the folks that were here before have the choice to make.
Okay, so new recruits, you're just automatically tossed into the blended. But the folks that have been in before that, you still have a choice as to which way you go forward. Is that right?
Correct.
That's right.
And again, get with a personal financial manager because they can advise you on which one makes more sense.
Yeah, I listen, folks. I'm going to stress to you out there, and if you have loved ones in the military, tell them too that find somebody to help you with this. I mean, you can make sure that the person gets the right information that they need and help them. Don't try to figure this out by yourself. It's just too important. It's your life. It's the rest of your life. And if you've given a military service, you deserve the best. When we come back, more from Tony as we talk about the new systems that are going into place in the military. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guest is Anthony Hernandez here on the Home and Family Finance Program. We appreciate you being with us. We're talking with Anthony Hernandez, who is the Chief Operating Officer of the DCUC, of the Defense Credit Union Council. And they are leading the charge in getting our military members, your sons and daughters, husbands and wives, up to speed on the new blended retirement system, if you will. Those who are already in the military will have to make some choices come between now and in 2018. Those who are new joining the service won't have that choice. They're going to go into the new blended system. Now, look, folks, maybe you didn't know about this, but I'm not a recruitment officer for the military, although I served in the military for 8 or 9 years. And to this day, I wish I had stayed in and got my 20 in, because I would now be sitting on at least 50% of my income for the rest of my life. And a lot of people are doing that. And to you, congratulations if you're just about to retire or you're getting close. And if you're getting close, you want to take a close look at this. Tony, you really do want to take a close look at this because depending upon where you are, you have to make some choices, and that might require a financial officer, an agent to help you, right?
That's right, Paul. And there are people out on the installations to help out, and they're better known as personal financial managers, and they typically reside in the family readiness centers, and each service has, you know, something to that effect. They're called different things in the service, but it's basically a family readiness center that provides these counselors, and a lot of them, you know, have good accreditations, and they're well trained, and they're especially versed in this new blended retirement system. And so we want to encourage all our military members and even family members to stop by and see your personal financial manager to get the information. Another good source is, we shipped copies of this guide to our member credit unions, and these are defense credit unions that are on all the military installations, and they have a copy of this guide, and they also should have a good working relationship with the personal financial managers. And if people really need to get a copy of it, they can come to our website. They can download the guide for free. That's at www.dcuc.org/page/BRS guide. You can navigate to it pretty quickly if you just want to go to the dcuc.org page, but it's a nice interactive guide, and it's fully illustrated, and you can download that for free if you need the information. Also, DOD's released their back on January 31st. They released their opt-in course, and that's on the JKO. That stands for Joint Knowledge Online course, and you can get that through MilitaryOneSource.com. Or there'll be plenty of opportunities coming down through command channels to opt in for that course.
How long did you serve in the military, Tony?
Paul, I served for 25 years.
Wow. You were Army, Air Force, Marines?
I was Air Force. I retired at the rank of colonel, and it was a great career. I saw lots of things. My last assignment, I was a support group commander, which, you know, we had a lot of these support functions that included the personal financial managers.
Right.
And tell you, our military members, financial readiness is a huge key.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want our young men and women and our seasoned veterans, you know, worried about their finances too much. So we're trying to, give them tools to take care of that for their future, so they can focus on the mission, which is protecting our great nation and our way of life.
Well, it's a great service that you offer when you do, and thank you for your service, Tony. That, number one. Number two, if you're not sure what you're going to do with the rest of your life, I implore you, take a look at the military as a way, as a lifestyle, as a great way to guarantee your future. And now with savings that is movable. All of a sudden, guys, you get out of service after 20, 25 years, you're a walking money machine. No, it's a great way. It's really a great way to serve your country and to make a positive difference in the life. Tony, I thank you for your service again and for joining us again. Give us the contact information. Folks, listen to this. This is how you get this information. Go ahead, Tony.
Okay, again, you can get the BRS guide at our homepage. It's www.dcuc.org/page/BRS guide. Thanks again, Paul, for having me on the Home and Family Finance Show. It's an important issue.
Anytime.
Anytime, Tony.
Anytime. We appreciate you, and the information that you passed on today is so important. Go see somebody about your financial future. Coming up, it's all. We're finished. Oh, it's been a pleasure being with you. I tell you what, why don't you do this? Join me next week, same time, same place. I'll be here. I'll be looking for you. Have a good day.